This is Worship First Podcast with Reverend Eleanor Colvin, pastor of First United Methodist Church in College Station, Texas. We thank you for joining us today and hope that this message inspires you. And remember, God is with you wherever you go. Join us for a word of prayer.
Awesome God, We pause just to give you praise, give you honor. For truly, Lord God, you are worthy to be praised from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same. You are worthy, you are mighty, you are great. Your name is to be exalted in all of the earth. God, we thank you for the gift of your Son, our Savior. And on this day, we celebrate his ascension, his return to heaven to be seated at the right hand of God, to be seated on the throne next to you, where he intercedes for us, where he prays for us, where he continues to cover us with his power and might and blood and strength, oh God. We thank you for a risen Savior who on this day rose and returned to heaven to you. God, we thank you for that power that is in us and able to rise up in us this day so that we might do as Christ said when he told us, you will do even greater things than I have. So God, bless us to tap into the resurrected Christ that lives in us. Bless us to acknowledge the power of the risen Savior at work in each and every one of us so that we might be at work in your world. God, show us who you would have us to serve. Show us how you would have us to serve. In Christ's holy and powerful name, all these things we ask for in the mighty and the matchless name of Jesus the Christ. Amen.
We serve a generous and giving God, so don't forget to worship through your giving. You can give online by visiting firstcollegestation.org and clicking on the Giving tab. Remember FIRST as in the number ST. The ability to give is as close as your smartphone when you text GIVE to 979-399-8303 or download the Ministry One app. Don't forget, you can still give using the QR code on the bulletin online or mail your checks to the church at 1125 Welburn Road, College Station, Texas 77840. Thank you for your generosity.
Thank you. The Bible says, "They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. 'Men of Galilee,' they said, 'why do you stand here looking into the sky?'" Now let's join our guest speaker, Reverend Ramonica Malone Wardley, as she explores this topic further.
Let us hear now from the Word of God, from Acts chapter 1, verses 1 through 11. In the first book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus did and taught from the beginning until the day when he was taken up to heaven after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself alive to them by many convincing proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. While staying with them, he ordered them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait there for the promise of the Father. "This," he said, "is what you have heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." So when they had come together, they asked him, "Lord, is this the time when you will restore the kingdom of Israel?" He replied, "It is not for you to know the times or periods that the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." When he said this, as they were watching, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. While he was going, they were gazing up toward heaven. Suddenly, two men in white robes stood by them. They said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up toward heaven? This Jesus, who has been taken up from you into heaven, will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Now, may our spirits be calmed, our hearts and minds opened and prepared to continue receiving God's word, not just for knowledge, but that we may truly be transformed into one, into even more faithful of disciples, so that the world will know who we are and whose we are by our love and grace, as they see us sharing love with one another and our neighbors. And please pray with me. Our merciful God, who is pleased to speak to us through your word, grant us all grace that we may not be mere hearers of your word, but doers also. Give us the grace of your Holy Spirit, that we may believe what has been proclaimed to us and discern what it means for our lives individually and our lives together as one body. May we bring you glory and honor, O God, in all that we do, as you conform us to the image of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Well, what have you been doing? And what have you heard? You know, Easter is now almost 50 days past. Prior to our celebrations of Easter, we spent over 40 days preparing for the day of resurrection during what we call Lent, 40 days of fasting and praying, of giving up or taking on something so that, you know, there's always a so that to what we do, so that we may grow closer to our risen Savior and align our lives to look more and more like the people that he created us to be. Next week, the day of Pentecost, when we remember and celebrate the coming of the Holy Spirit, just as Jesus promised. These annual festivals and celebrations, Lent, Easter, Ascension, Pentecost, and the such, are all there to remind us of who we are, of what we're to be doing, and why. An opportunity to refocus ourselves, because we all know that through the challenges of this life, it's easy to get deterred, overwhelmed by our circumstances, and begin to fix our eyes only on what we see around us and lose sight of our ultimate purpose. 40 days to prepare for Easter, and now some 40 days remembering the sacrifice and death of Christ's love. Some 50 days of pondering what it means for us that we serve a Savior, y'all, that no grave could hold, that evil could not conquer, a Savior who wouldn't allow injustice to have the last word, but instead with humility revealed who really had the power that doesn't harm or divide or kill, the power that unites, heals, overcomes, believes, hopes, power to do more than our human finite minds can conceive. So church, what does it mean for us that this is our Savior who was willing to move into our neighborhood when we couldn't get it right, and instead of God being done with us, sent to us his Son to walk and live among us in order to draw us back into right relationship with God and with each other? What does this mean for our lives? See, the amount of time that we spend in preparation and anticipation of Easter, and then the amount of concentrated time that we've been remembering and pondering afterwards, signifies to us the importance of this life-changing, direction-giving event for our lives. But how many of us, and I say us, how many of us sang our hallelujahs, shouted out with joy and excitement, Christ is risen indeed, and then walked out of the church or closed down our computers and went about our life without another thought as to what Easter really means? Church, if after they beat him and pierced him and buried him, he did not stay in that grave, but got up with all power, then surely his sacrifice and resurrection means, demands, deserves more than one Sunday of hallelujahs before we turn back to our regularly scheduled programming. So what does it mean? I mean, think about all that the disciples have been through. Think about all that we've been through as we begin to think about all that the disciples have been through over these last few years of walking with Jesus. And though they have been having a hard time, sometimes we give them too hard of a time. Amen? We would come down hard on the disciples. Well, why did he think that? And why did he ask that? And why did he misunderstand that? When if we're honest with ourselves, we are them, they are us, people who are trying to live faithful lives, but often get it wrong. Proving to us that you don't have to be perfect to follow Jesus. He doesn't ask us to be perfect, but friends, he does ask us to be faithful. Because no matter how many times the disciples messed up or misunderstood or made mistakes or focused on the wrong things, they chose always to stay close enough to Jesus, to remain close enough to him, so that even when they made a mistake, that he could rebuke them, that he could correct them, that he could redirect them, right? So we too as disciples know that we're going to mess up, that we're going to make mistakes, but may we too find ourselves close enough to Jesus so that we can hear him when he says we're wrong. To follow Jesus with all of their imperfection, the disciples have left behind families and jobs to embark on this Fisher of People journey with the Messiah. They were firsthand witnesses to lives being changed, bodies healed, sanity and dignity restored, evil rebuked, the ostracized and marginalized included and brought back into community. They got to witness as hope and joy return to those who had or were giving up because they were beginning to bend and buckle under the weight of the suffering and oppression. Just like us, the disciples were overwhelmed by all that they had experienced. And I'm sure there were days that they wanted to give up and go back home to life as usual because, you know, this road is just a little bit too tough. But through it all, they remained together, seeking the Lord. Because how many of us know that we were never promised that the road wouldn't be easy? We were never promised that we wouldn't hurt. We were never promised that we wouldn't grieve, that our hearts wouldn't be broken, that there were times that we would get off track and not know which way to go. But what we were promised, that we would have a Savior to walk alongside us through it all, that we would never be left or forsaken. Today's text picks up after the crucifixion of Jesus. It picks up after he had been raised from the dead, after he continued to appear to his disciples and teach them. Now, it's time for Jesus to return to the right hand of God. But before going away, he takes the last opportunity to have a conversation with his followers, teaching them about the kingdom of God, you know, giving them that refresher course to make sure that they really got it before he leaves. He orders them not to leave Jerusalem. He orders them to wait and stay there. But not just wait and stay any kind of way, to wait and stay together. Jesus said for them to wait for the promised gift of the Lord. He said that John baptized you and me with water, but you're about to be baptized with the power of the Holy Spirit. And it seems that trying to really understand what this means while still gathered together as community, gathered as one in Christ, gathered together to learn from and hear from Christ, all while in one place, caring for one another and seeking their direction from the Lord by asking, so Lord, is this the time when you will restore the kingdom of Israel? Well, through the power of their obedience of staying together, through their desire to please and follow Jesus, they were able to seek out a word from the Lord. And the word from Christ was, this ain't your business. It's not for you to know right now when the time is. But let me tell you what your mission is. Because your mission isn't over. This is the end for me. That this is the beginning for you. Because all that you've watched, all that we've done together, you're about to be baptized with the power of the Holy Spirit to continue to run on, to continue to run this race. Because you are my children. You are children of the Most High God, believers and followers of the crucified and risen Christ. You have watched and participated as I healed the sick and ate with sinners and sought out the marginalized and rejected. You have sat at the table with me as we broke bread. I washed your stinky feet, knowing that some of you would betray me, that some of you would deny me and desert me at the time of my deepest pain. And yet, I continued to love you and model for you the way to be in truly loving, blessed community. The way to forgive those who have wronged you and love those who can't stand you. And all that you have witnessed, I need you now to go forth and live in the power of the resurrection. Because you see, church, the resurrection isn't just something we confess. It isn't just something we believe in. It isn't just something that we celebrate once a year. But the resurrection truly makes a difference in our lives and how we live our lives. Philippians 3 says, I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the sharing of his sufferings by becoming like him in his death. If somehow I may obtain the resurrection from the dead, now that I have already obtained this and have already reached the goal, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Church, there are some things that we need to die to. There are some things that we need to let go of. There are some things that we need to leave in the past in order that we may rise and be resurrected into the newness of life, a life that is worthy of the calling of Christ Jesus. The church, to live in the power of the resurrection, we realize that we don't get to live our lives unto ourselves, but unto the Lord. We realize that our life is no longer our own to live any kind of way, to treat each other and our neighbors any kind of way, that this life isn't just about me getting mine and not worrying about the welfare of my brothers and sisters, but this life also isn't about just sitting around and waiting for God to do everything. But for us together to receive our direction from the Lord and then to go and be his witnesses. You see, because as Jesus ascended back to the right hand of God, the disciples were stuck gazing up, I'm sure a little dumbfounded again, like here he's leaving us again. But as I'm sure we would have also, they were a little confused. So they're standing there, I'm sure, like, okay, we just heard him tell us what to do. We're supposed to wait. He's leaving. The power's coming. But what do we do right now? We sometimes get in those places where we're a little confused and don't know what to do, but God doesn't leave us there because then God sent two messengers to say to them, why are you still looking up? He said, go. Why are you stuck? Go. Be witnesses. Witnesses, not of your own, but witnesses of Christ and the power of his resurrection, first at home, and then go a little further, and then a little further, and then a little further, as you continue to go to the ends of the earth. Now I know And we're told in scripture to lift up our eyes to the hills, knowing where our help comes from, because our help comes from the Lord. But church, we can't stay there looking up to the mountaintop. The looking up should reveal a vision and a direction of the Lord, who says, I want you to go, and this is how you want, I want you to go. So in our gathering, there's a purpose. We don't just gather to praise and then walk out to do nothing else. We gather together to love one another, to nurture one another, to pray for one another, in order to walk out so that others will want to know our Christ, because they see the way we care for each other, the way we care for them. Why are you looking up? He said, go. As you see, Jesus' ascension meant that his feet would no longer walk this earth. So Christ no longer has any hands or feet on this earth, but our hands and our feet. And if our hands and our feet and our hearts and our mouths don't move on his behalf, how will others come to know him and the power of his resurrection to heal them and make them whole? Church, I know you know, when you look around, you know some people who aren't here who need to be. You know some people who don't know that they're loved. You know some people who don't know that they belong. You know some people who have given up or real close to giving up. Not too far from here, there are people who are wounded in pain and they don't know which direction to go, and all they need to know is that someone cares. And guess what? We know someone who laid down their life, that they can have life, and not just any kind of life, but abundant life. But how are they going to know about the abundant life if those of us who know him are willing to be his witnesses? Several years ago, we went on vacation with my husband's family. We went to the Redwood Forest. Y'all, I'm not an outside person. It was hot. It was like the hottest summer in California, and I was mad because I was hot. But sometimes we have to get outside of our comfort zone in order for God to give us a blessing. Because as I walked around that redwood forest, I began to see how tall and big these cheap trees were. Then I started to read about them. And church, I got overwhelmed. Because the redwood forest has some of the tallest and oldest trees in the world. And when I found out why, it made a difference. Because you see, what it said was that with the redwood forest, their roots, that they don't go very deep, only about 5 or 6 inches or so. Not very deep, right?
Yeah.
So it made me think, if they were there by themselves, they would be kind of us, where we kind of shift and wave and sway when the wind blows, when illness comes, when tragedy strikes, we kind of shift a little bit and sway sometimes. But the way these trees have gotten so strong is because their root system reaches out and intertwines with the next tree.
Mm.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So sometimes we can feel like we're not very deep. Sometimes we can feel like we don't have a lot of strength. Sometimes we can feel like we don't have a lot of direction. But church, if we come together, then we can lend to each other our strength when I'm not. When you're strong and I'm weak, you can lend me your strength. When I'm sick, well, you can lend me your wellness and help me to message that heals. We serve a Savior that is sitting on the throne and has not stopped healing, has not stopped loving, has not stopped reaching. is that we would come together, that we would put aside all the things that divide us, that we would put aside all of the things that keep us from working together, and that we would truly seek Him and His direction. Because I promise you, there are people that He wants us to get to know so that they can get to know Him. May all of our time not be taken up by fighting with each other. I just love the church. I'm not talking about y'all. I'm not talking about them. We don't know. Because no church is fine, right? But sometimes we as people, we get into our fight mode. Who we serve a Savior who has come that we may have life and life more abundant. May we receive it. May we accept it, and may we share it with others. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Friends, would you take a moment to pray about how God has spoken to you through this message? Seeds have been planted today. God's word does not return void. It goes out and produces fruit. It accomplishes the purposes for which it was sent. Take time to pray about how God is sending you today.
Thank you for joining us. Special thanks to those who support this ministry with their time, talent, and gifts. If you enjoy this podcast, you can subscribe, share with friends, and on your social media stories. Don't forget to tag us at First United Methodist Church, College Station. Peace and God bless.